3 and 600, is that correct, what they're thinking? I mean, that's what the goal of this is. But these guys are relatable. These guys are, they've been through it. They've seen the number factory you can become, but they've also seen what happened when people took a stand for Christ, and they want to develop our youth. And what a better way. I'm going to pray about that right now, and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I just lift this time up for you, and I lift up these young men that have taken a stand, and they have taken a way to show their faith and a way to reach out and give back to the community, Lord. And I just ask that you'll bless this time that we have with them, and that they give them all the avenues they need to have in order for this program to be successful and for them to reach out to our youth and our county, Lord. I love you and I give you all the praise. In your name we pray, amen. So I also, God's been working on me here for, I don't know, probably a couple months. And we have a portion of our congregation that I just feel like we need to do a better job of reaching. So, I don't know what this looks like. I don't know, and I've not even talked to Les and Jesse about this. God's just been working on me, and I'm not going to ignore it anymore. So, we have a bunch of college-age people in our congregation that we don't really offer a Sunday school for. I have a young group of high school age, junior high age. We have the adult group. We have a group, a pretty big group of college-age kids, and I'm going to name you off here, Morgan Mitchell, Lexi, Braden, Isaac, Bo, Jackson, Cole. We have a bunch. There's probably 10 to 12. Am I forgetting anybody? I know I am. Maisie. Yeah, I mean, we have Julie Mariotti. We have a bunch of people. So I would like to meet, if you're in that age group after church, I just want to meet with you real quick. I just want to see what an interest is. I don't, maybe there isn't one. I'm not saying a Sunday during church thing. I'm saying, I don't know, maybe we just get together, hang out, do pizza, go play golf, whatever it is. Go to the putt-putt, I don't know what it is. Owen and Autumn are the other two I thought of. But I don't know what it looks like. I want to meet with you real quick after church. I'll be very brief. I'd like to get some contact numbers and see if there's even any interest. If there's not an interest, then we won't pursue it. But I think there's a need for you all. And I don't have to lead it. If somebody else is feeling led to do that, please step up and do that. Because I just know God's been working pretty hard with me, and I'm not going to ignore it anymore. So. Anyway, let's get started. Do you ever feel like you're the only one that is just going through the ringer? Maybe it's just me. There are days when I feel like, God, you can't throw anything else on me. God, I'm overwhelmed already. And I got thinking about that, and I found some stuff this week, and I thought, you know, I didn't turn it into Julie because I wasn't sure that's where God wanted me to go. But the more I've thought and he's worked on me, we're going to go with it. You are not the only person here that gets overwhelmed. We all do. We all do. You know, there's just a lot going on. So I titled this message, I know Les last week, Run to Him. And I was thinking about this. Some passages came to mind last week while Les was talking. And run to Him, three words. I thought that was pretty cool. This is three words. He gets us. He gets us. We're going to use a bunch of different passages. I do have some stuff I want to read here, though, because I found this week and I thought it was pretty powerful. We don't always use the word struggle to describe Jesus, but maybe we should. Because his life wasn't just about sermons and miracles, it was also about pressures and pain, grief, exhaustion, being pulled in every direction. Does this sound familiar? Jesus didn't live in a peaceful, easy world. He lived under a powerful empire that watched and controlled everything, a society that misunderstood him, friends who didn't always show up, systems that didn't bend for anyone, especially a working-class carpenter from the sticks. Nazareth was not exactly an upcoming booming metropolis. Jesus knew about burnout, anxiety, loneliness, seen as a threat for challenging the existing social and political order. Jesus experienced government oppression. He lived under Roman occupation, a regime that taxed the poor into deeper poverty, silenced protest with violence, and used public executions to keep people in line. It was a system that protected the powerful and punished those who called for justice. He faced betrayal from friends and suffered sleepless nights and the crushing burden of carrying other people's pain as well as his own. Jesus got tired. Jesus got overwhelmed with emotion. Jesus wept. And Jesus asked God hard questions. Jesus also knew the crushing weight of everyone's expectations, and he knew what it was like to feel completely alone. He knew what it meant to care deeply in a world that didn't always care back. But he didn't numb out. He didn't self-medicate. He didn't shut down. He stayed present. Jesus kept pursuing and practicing compassion. But so what? Is any of this relevant thousands of years later? I want you to consider this. Many of us today are dealing with similar issues. Inflation and uncertain job market have you feeling burned out. Perhaps you are one of many Americans working multiple jobs to keep your family afloat. The aftermath of social distancing coupled with social media has radically changed our interactions, leaving some of us to feel disconnected and alone more than ever. And that goes on. It talks about politics. I'm not going to go there. What I want you to understand is, guys, Jesus knows what we're going through. And I'm going to use a couple passages today, but I'm going to start with just some simple verses. John 4, 6, I think our sound guys, Julie and Dylan, have it all figured out. John 4, 6, Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was the sixth hour. So, you know, when I think of Jesus, sometimes I think that the dude had just, he was like the Energizer Bunny, right? He just kept going and going and going and going. Here it says, man, he was wearied. Have you ever felt wearied? I feel weary about every day when it's time to get up to go to work. But I get up and go anyway. Right? Jesus was tired. He was sitting beside the well. It's a great, great reminder. Mark 14, 33 and 34. And it's funny, we're actually going to use this one later too. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." Guys, this is a time when Jesus took his best friends, his guys right here, Peter, James, and John, and he said, "Listen, I've got to go pray. I need you clowns to stay here and watch." Everybody knows what happens. What happened? Those three guys fell asleep. They didn't stay watch. They fell asleep. They let Jesus down. We have friends. We have people in our lives that can't live up to our expectations. And I think Jesus is also one of them that, man, he had a hard time dealing with these guys because he was teaching these guys everything. Jesus was investing his time and his effort into these guys, and he gave them a very, very simple task. Stay here and watch. We see some of those adverbs in there. Greatly distressed and troubled. Greatly distressed and troubled. We've all been there. If you haven't ever been greatly distressed or troubled, praise God, you're doing something right. Keep doing what you're doing. If you have been greatly distressed and troubled, praise God, you're doing something right. Keep doing what you're doing. Because Jesus was greatly distressed and troubled. He worried about me at that time. We can learn a lot from Jesus. John 11:35. I love this one. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. You know, there was a day this week when everything was kind of hitting me. Those of you that don't know, Coca-Cola in their infinite wisdom is changing how we're going to go to business again. So I've been on the current job I'm in right now for a year, since June 25th. And we've decided we're going to change how we're doing it again. So I internalize a lot of things. I don't talk about a lot of work stuff at home other than gripe about silly people I work with sometimes. This one's got me a little bothered because I'm going to get booted off a route that I've really grown to kind of like because 19 years with the company puts me fourth in seniority for the guys that are bidding routes, and somebody else is going to take, because of the way they combined it, they're going to take the route I have currently. So there's that. So I've just been kind of overwhelmed by the whole thing. Not really overwhelmed, angry more than anything. But there was a day this week that at 5 o'clock in the morning, I sat in my truck with no radio, truck not even running, and I just broke down because I knew I needed to turn it over to Jesus because it was too much. You know, there's several routes I could take, one of which is going to be way more work for a 54-year-old guy that's fat and overweight and lazy. That I don't want to do. It has Meijer and Marion, Walmart and Marion, Bueller's and Galleon, and Discount Drug and Galleon. It's 143,000 cases of pop a year that I'd be responsible for ordering and putting up. And man, that's a lot. That's a lot. There's another one that's going to bring me closer to home, which I think is the route I'm going to take. It's Mount Gilead Kroger and Mount Vernon Walmart. Again, it's 137,000 cases a week or a year, but it's two stores. So because I struggled with that. I even thought about taking the Millersburg Walmart route at one point because that was Matt trying to solve the problem on his own. And it wasn't until I broke down and realized I needed Jesus' advice to choose the right route. I don't even know when we're choosing the routes. But in my mind, I have clarity on what I'm taking. There are times when we just have to give it over to Him. This is what He did when He wept. He gave everything and He said, God, if it is your will, then that's it. That's good enough for me. And that was the prayer I prayed, I think it was Wednesday morning. I said, God, you know, if it whatever it is, whatever your will is for me, open that door up for me and just make it clear that that's where you want me to go. And then we've had conversations about this outreach thing in Morrow County. And, you know, this puts me back home in Morrow County for a store. It puts me in Knox County for a store where my in-laws live. My grandson lives. So I think it's just become pretty clear to me what route I need to take and not worry about the financial end of it, because I know God will take care of it. So we learn a lot from Jesus. He understands the stuff we go through every day. Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That's powerful. That's powerful because sometimes we think, man, Jesus just did what he told. Jesus never questioned anything that was supposed to happen. Jesus just did what he was told. Here he's crying out, "My Father, why have you forsaken me and put me in this spot?" Guys, it is okay when we have questions. It is okay for us not to be in control, because we have the ultimate example. You know, because sometimes we look at Jesus and we say, man, that dude had everything together. He lived 32 years and never committed a sin. His life was perfect. But it's funny how God put him with a bunch of numbskulls. Right? He didn't put him with kings. He put him with fishermen. He put him with tax collectors. He put him with guys that probably shouldn't have been in Jesus' presence. Sound familiar? I don't deserve to be in the presence of the Lord. I don't deserve to walk daily with him. But you know what? When he went through and he was going through this time right here, he chose me. He chose you. And he did this all. He went through it all for each and every one of us. Jesus gets us. I'm going to take you into a couple passages. Matthew 19. I thought these were kind of neat because Jesus had a lot going on in his life. Does that sound familiar with anyone? Right? Jesus had a lot going on in his life. He was trying to teach these 12 disciples, these lunkheads, how they were going to carry on after he left. He was trying to cram so much stuff and teaching and teaching them discipline and teaching them the way God wanted them to go about business. And this story came in and I thought, you know, this is it. "Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people. But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and went away." Jesus was in the middle of his mission, his preaching, his giving sermons. He was talking. He was always surrounded by people, right? And these disciples, they just didn't get it. They didn't get it. And there's so many times that we think and we say, man, it's so much simpler when I was a child. Think about that for a minute. When you were a child, you know, and my girls all have experienced this. And two of them have now experienced what it's like to be a caregiver for a child. Man, it's tough at times. But when you're a child, you don't have a care in the world. You cry because you're hungry, they give you food. You cry because you need to go to sleep, they put you in bed. You cry because you want this, they give you this. You know, and as parents, our job is to protect our children. Our job is to educate our children. And Jesus right here, this is why, and this starts a whole other passage or message, but this is why we do children dedication. This passage right here. Because you know what? These people were just getting Jesus to lay their hands on their children. That's all they wanted. Bless these children by laying your hands on them. Now, when we do a children dedication, Les or myself or Jesse or whoever's doing it, you know, we're not comparing ourselves to Jesus here. What we're doing is we're saying, Jesus, here are these kids. Here are these parents that want to raise these children to be more like you. And we're dedicating these children to the service of Jesus Christ at that point. It's not about we're laying our hands on the kids at that point and giving them rainbows and butterflies all their lives. We're dedicating those children. Parents and the church are dedicating those children to the service of Jesus. Here are these parents. Where these children were just brought to him so that he could bless them. Right? And when we dedicate or we baptized Bo and Rob and Delaney and a while back, and you know, when we do something like that and when they make a decision like that, the devil doesn't just go away. The devil doesn't just go away because Jesus is evidence of that. You know, Jesus did so many good things throughout his life, and we're going to learn a little bit more about one more story I want to talk about that I've talked about 1,000 times before. But all we need to focus on is Jesus. All the other garbage, go away. We need to be like these children and just come and want to be blessed. But there's going to be people turning us away. There's going to be people saying, you're not good enough. There's going to be people saying, you can't do that because Jesus was perfect, Matt. You don't deserve that because you do this. You don't deserve that because you have thoughts like this. Guys, I'm here to tell you right now, he is not going to turn his back on you. Ever. Ever. He is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. We're the ones that change. And now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 9. I love this, and I've used it several times, but I'm going to use it again today because this is just another example of all of Jesus's life going on. Jesus had a lot going on. It's verse 18. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him. My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. Let's stop right there. In those two verses, Jesus was there delivering the word. Okay? Jesus was there preaching. And somebody came to him and said, Jesus, my daughter just died. Come lay your hands on her so she can live again. That takes some faith. That takes some belief in the guy that you're going to talk to. Now, from Jesus' perspective, he had a lot going on. He had a crowd of people following him. They were listening to everything he said. He was preaching. He was spreading God's word. And this guy comes and said, "Hey, I need your help." You know, if I was Jesus at that point, I'd have been like, "Can't you see I'm busy? Can't you see I'm doing something for the greater kingdom of God? I can't go do that right now." But Jesus didn't do that. Pick up in verse 20 or 19. Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. So Jesus didn't ask questions. Jesus just got up and went with him. Verse 20, "And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, 'If I only touch his garment, I will be made well.'" Again, that's an immense amount of faith. Do you have that kind of faith? I've said it before. I'll continue to say it as long as you allow me up here on the stage. I do not have that kind of faith. I have the kind of faith that Jesus has to hit me in the back of the head with a 2x4 and wake me up. I have that kind of faith. I'm not sure I have that kind of, I don't know what the word is. But I get so wrapped up in what's going on in my life that I lose touch of what Jesus wants me to do from time to time. And then he's got to smack me upside the head and say, "Hey, come back over here and pay attention." Let's talk about this woman for a minute. 12 years. 12 years. Many of you know, I probably shared it. I don't know, it's been 4 years ago, I think. Chris and I were on vacation in Florida with my brother and sister-in-law. And it was my 50th birthday, so we went with them, and Chris was just not acting right. She was just not acting like at the time a 48-year-old woman should have acted. Had a hard time because I'm fat, don't like beaches to begin with, but this beach had about 100 stairs you had to climb to get back up to where our house was, okay? They're sand covered. You got sand in your shorts. You got sand. You're carrying all your stuff from the day. So when I got to the top of the stairs, I turned around. Chris wasn't there yet. She finally got to the top of the stairs. She said, "Matt, I need to sit down." So what's going on? Because, again, I'm fat, I'm out of shape. Chris, you walk 3 miles a day, whatever it is, you know. Well, when we got back to Ohio, Chris went to the ER, got admitted. She was losing blood. She'd been doing that for 6 months. This woman been doing it for 12 years. 12 years. I don't know how she was still alive. I mean, if I'm being totally honest, I don't know how she was still alive. Because Chris had 2 transfusions that day of blood, and they said, "Man, I'm glad you came when you did, because your body was shutting down." Okay? So that's how detailed God is about our bodies. But this woman was in a pretty bad way. But she believed if she touched the fringe of his garment, she'd be healed. That's the kind of faith I want. That's the kind of faith I want. I turn everything over to him, and he's just going to handle it. But here's the response I wanted to get to that Jesus gets us. In verse 22, Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly, the woman was made well. Now, there's a lot of things I could go to, but here's the direction I want to go with this. Jesus, we know, had a crowd of people around him, right? I mean, if I was one of the disciples, this dude, I'd be like a human shield for Jesus when he's walking through the streets. I'd be opening up. I'd be like the lead blockers, right? So I'm guessing this woman had to struggle to get to Jesus, and Jesus was getting jostled about when you're walking because it's probably tight quarters, and he's probably touching people, and Jesus felt her touch the fringe of his cloak. That is how powerful the God we serve is. And it doesn't say she gave a long explanation of what. It says Jesus turned, looked at her, and said, "Because of your faith, you are healed." He did not need an explanation. When you think what you're going through is too big for Jesus, I want you to go back to this passage. And I want you to imagine this woman just brushing up against his cloak, or I don't even know if that's the right term, his garment, and him feeling that, and him knowing right now what needed to happen. Because if you think financial problems, you think marital problems, you think school problems, you think work problems are too big for him, you think about what he just accomplished right here. Forget the fact that one was bleeding for 12 years. The fact that he felt her touch and knew what she needed at that point in time is what I want you to focus on. And the fact that he point blank said, "Because of your faith, you're healed." And she was instantly healed. You know, in researching that, I didn't do it this time, but in researching that, this woman had been to doctors. This woman had looked for answers. She had tried just about everything, except for the one thing. And he healed her instantly. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players in the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. Our Jesus can take care of any problem you have. And he knows what you're going through. Because again, you know, we don't like to be embarrassed. We don't like to be mocked. We don't like to be made fun of. But here, Jesus comes into this house and they're preparing like a funeral they're preparing. And Jesus says, "People, go away. This girl's not dead. She's asleep." And they laugh at him. They laugh at him. So do not be afraid to take a stand, people. Because we're serving a God that can do that. We're serving a God that can do that. And we serve a Jesus that knows what we're going through. And he's been through it. And he lived sinlessly for 32 years. Going through some of the same stuff that we go through today, just at a different time frame. Because we worry about what people think of us. Jesus preached. He didn't care what people thought. You know, he had guys walking on water. He rose guys out of tombs. He brought this girl back to life. He stopped a woman that bled for 12 years. He didn't care. Because he knew his job was to spread the word. Guys, I contend our job is to spread his word. But I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to talk in front of people. I don't want to take a stand. I don't want to be made fun of. Jesus experienced all that. You don't think when Jesus was going from the procession from Pilate to the hill? I guarantee you what he went through that day is worse than anything you can go through in your entire life, all tied together. I'm never going to have stuff thrown at me while I'm carrying a cross. I'm never going to be beaten and whipped because of my beliefs. I may get beaten up because I make poor choices. But I'm not, nobody is going to beat me and put me in jail and put me on a cross because I say I follow Jesus. Or I believe in God. It's not going to happen today in the United States, right now. There's other places in the world it's going to happen. We got to get out into those other places. And it's events like this coming up Saturday that help prepare our youth. Because, you know, God's not going to use me as a missionary somewhere else. I guarantee you, at 54 years old, he's not going to say, hey, Matt, pack up what you're doing. I need you to go. Oh, I can't guarantee it. I won't guarantee it. But I don't think God's going to use me. But, you know, there's a lot of youth that God may use. And I think this is a great cause. It's a great cause. Those of you that don't know, at Ohio State last year and the year before, they baptized like 2,500 people in about 4 nights. In about 4 nights. I mean, it was a big, big explosion. And I'm a sports guy. I'll use that. Even today, some of those guys have moved on to the NFL. You know, they still resort back to during their conversations with media that what happened at Ohio State last year was powerful beyond all belief, and it wasn't something man-made. It was a God thing. It was a God thing. So our kids and our young people are going to have the opportunity to witness these big, great big dudes that played in the NFL, and they're at the top of their ladder of professions. And I mean, I've seen people that are 6'8", 354 pounds. I've never been that close to them, right? Our kids are going to get that opportunity, and then they're going to talk to our kids about leadership and about faith and about taking stands. It's what I want to be a part of. You know, I have a little voice here. But I need to do a better job of showing my little voice out in the community. I need to do a better job of showing it every single day. There are days when I'm pretty good. There are days when I'm terrible. But you know what? Jesus still loves me the same as he did yesterday when I had a good day, when I had my bad day. He understands what we're going through, because he lived it. And he thought about it while he was hanging on the cross. He knew back then what I was going to be. Think about that for a second. When he was hanging on the cross, he said, Matt, I know that you're going to be just a sinner. I know every sin you're going to commit, Matt, I know, and I'm hanging here on the cross for you anyway. That's the God we serve. So what I want you to take from this today is Jesus understands what you're going through. God understands, and he has an out for you through Jesus. What are we doing to be more like him? He gets us. What are we doing to be more like him? I would challenge you this week to go out and just share a little bit of your faith. Share a little bit. Has anybody here ever just shared their testimony just out of the blue? I mean, I know it's kind of easy to do here when we're all here, but have you just ever done it out there in the community? Just said, you know, I want to tell you about my Jesus. That's hard. It's hard. Because sometimes you feel like you're the only person ever thinking that way. But take that jump and know that you got the power of the cross and the power of the grave with you. And he'll get you through anything because he understands what you're going through. Because he was scared. He was upset. He was overwhelmed. He was all that stuff. But he still did it anyway. I'm going to close this in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we come before you. And Lord, we feel like we get overwhelmed sometimes. We feel like we have a lot going on. Lord, I just want us to understand how you felt those same things. And you still did it thinking of us every single time. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.